fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Are there enough people here to steer this boat? Let me see. Empty chair. Full chair, and a guy pressing buttons. Yes, I think this is the day that the American Adversaries Classic Sunday Edition proves that it can be shorthanded and a little undermanned, but never deflated. 5 days a week from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's the American Adversaries Drive Time Edition. And on Sunday nights from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., no matter what's on the TV or on the radio or anywhere else, we are here to give you 3 hours of the best professional political wrestling you will ever hear on the radio. Now, Johnny Guns is our special correspondent today. He will be phoning in his WTF news, literally. He's out at Glendale, and he will be reporting back in.
Oh, yeah.
Come time. Lair is out on assignment. He's probably sitting behind someone in a White House press briefing room. Carl Jackson, well, Carl Jackson operates on Carl Jackson time, so you never know. He might be here. He might not. We just don't know. But Jeff Sennis is right back there on the bridge, so we're in good hands. I am Nostradamus, sitting in Lair's seat tonight. And, okay, I'm going to say it. It's Soup or Bowl Sunday. Chris is trying to decide next time we go to Cafe Positano's for his first course, will he get a cup of soup or a bowl of salad? Christopher Hart.
It'll most likely be a little glass of limoncello.
Oh, that's the aperitif. That's not the appetizer.
Yeah, well, that's right. Get your appetite started. All right, folks, We want to get your appetite for news started right now, because that's right, we are coming to you live. That was Nostradamus. I am Christopher Hart. Lair is out on some sort of assignment. I don't know what, but Carl Jackson is throwing a Super Bowl party for his crew, for his show. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, you can catch him live in another excellent show yesterday morning right here on AM 660, The Answer, at 8 a.m. But right now, for the next 3 hours until 8 p.m., you have us. And we are live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Don't forget to ask him about his book, Mercury Free. But we're here live on AM 660, The Answer, and 1520 WBZW. And, of course, we will be here until 8 o'clock, at which time the live radio doesn't stop, regardless of, well, like Nostradamus said, what's going on anywhere else. John Butler Book will be here live until 9 o'clock from 8 to 9 on our sister station, 950 WTLN. And, of course, from 8 to 11, I presume Mark Walters is going to be doing his show live. So there's still going to be a lot of good live radio that you can listen to as you watch the Super Bowl, if you choose to do that. We'll give you scoring updates as they occur during the game. So we will keep you up to date on the game as it happens. And as Lena said, Johnny will be calling in later. Sonny will be with us later.
Are you sure she is? Because she's right there in Arizona.
She sure is.
Everything is going on.
They're both going to be remote journalists tonight. So,
or you can flip down the dial and listen to repeats of stuff that happened last week. But that's just boring.
It sure is.
This is live. It's so live, I didn't turn my phone down.
And the best part of this is that you can be a part of the show, too. And you want to keep that phone handy, because we will be doing our Who Said That contest tonight. 407-774-8255, of course, is our number. And don't forget, as part of the prize package for that Who Said That contest is a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. And don't forget, folks, and our first newsletter is coming out this week for the American Adversaries Army enlistees. And in that will be coupons. One will be a 20% off coupon to Cafe Positano, which will pay for your monthly subscription to the American Adversaries. Should you go there and well, if you take somebody with you, I mean, you can get a meal for less than $20 or $25. But if you spend $20 or $25, you've made your subscription for the month.
You can get a little pizza, and they have like 20, 30 different types of pizzas there.
Yeah.
They bring it out to you on a little tray. You can split it up. Lair sometimes orders one all by himself.
Yeah.
When we go out during the week.
Absolutely.
Beautiful stuff.
You can go in there and have a good little lunch for less than $5. I'm mm-hmm. here to tell you because I do it. Mm. All right. So, as I said, we'll be doing our Who Said That contest. Sonny will be joining us later. Lair won't be with us tonight, nor will we be able to have his closing remarks because his assignment came up at the last minute, whatever that means.
That's all right. You get Dennis's closing remarks instead. You'll have to settle.
There you go. So it is Super Sunday, but we do have a big show lined up for you tonight. We're going to be talking about a subject that I'm calling the last pope.
What?
The last pope.
Wait a minute.
Now, that could mean a lot of things. You know, what do you call that? A double entendre?
Could be double. Could be triple. How many entendres do you have in there?
Got a bunch of them packed in there.
Oh,
so we'll be
goodness.
Talking about that in the second hour of the show. Yeah, but we got a lot of other stuff lined up for the first hour, not the least of which is Nostradamus's stories from the past.
Got a little bit.
That's right. But first, I want to go over a couple of things. Yeah, you're going to get some live political wrestling here tonight. And Jeff is real excited because he's hot off of his date with the NXT's Bayley.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Jeff had a little date with Bayley last night, didn't you there, Jeff?
Yep, man, it was a lot of fun. And Bailey, if you're listening, I just want to say thank you for the photo op, and thanks for tuning in to the American Adversaries, and thanks for the autograph, and good luck to you, and I hope you enjoy the show just as much as I enjoyed the event last night.
You didn't give Bailey cause to smack you down, Jeff, did you?
I hope not.
Might have been fun.
Oh, yeah. But NXT held it. Of course, they're holding events here pretty regularly, but yesterday there was one at the Armory down there on Fern Creek, wasn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and of course these events come up, and but it's a lot of fun, and it is professional wrestling at its best. And you get this. The best part is you get to see it up close, and you were right there ringside, weren't you, Jeff?
Yes, I was. Also, the tag team champions of Murphy and Blake Murphy and his tag team partner from Australia. If they're listening, hope you enjoy the show as well.
Yeah, we'd say to them, good day.
Mate, throw something on the Barbie.
That's right. So it's great family fun, especially, folks. So check out NXT. Also, yesterday I had the honor and privilege to attend the wedding of Bill Bocunic and Janine Corcoran.
Oh, God bless them.
Yeah, and they are now Bill and Janine Bocunic, and off on a honeymoon. And it was a great wedding at the Royal Gala Golf Country Club down there in St. Cloud.
And wow, so he got around in before the marriage, huh?
Yeah.
Good for him. 18 holes.
Yeah, well, you know, Bill is a big fan of James Bond, and it was sort of a James Bond-themed reception anyway. He was dressed like James Bond, you know, with the white jacket, you know, like Bond would wear the white tuxedo
jacket.
Was
he packing?
You'd have to ask Janine that. I don't know. But it was a great wedding. Everybody had a lot of fun. And it was a beautiful setting down there. And as I said, it was a real treat and privilege to be in on that.
And now, were you seated at table 007?
I was seated at the table on His Majesty's Secret Service.
Oh, everyone had a movie.
Every table had a movie theme to it. Exactly.
So you were at the George Lazenby table.
That's right. It's actually one of my favorites. You know, Telly Savalas is the villain in
That's
it.
That's right.
And it's a really cute movie, especially when they have dinner up at Savalas's like castle, and, mm-hmm. and he's got them all up there, and Lazenby's in there having dinner with a kilt. He's wearing a kilt, and I won't say any more than that.
That's all you need to know.
But it was a lot of fun, and congratulations to them. On a bit of a different note, we had a bit of a shock around here Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
During Michael Medved's show, during the 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock hours, I was listening, as I usually do, and he was teasing that he was going to have a big announcement about his show in the 5 o'clock hour, which, of course, around here is when we do the drive time show.
Right, and Lair kind of joked that, hey, maybe he'll announce that he's finally become a conservative.
Well, unfortunately, we wished it had been something, much different than it turned out to be.
Yeah.
Tell us, Dennis.
All right. He announced that he is undergoing treatment right now for stage 3 throat cancer. Stage 3 is pretty far along. You could tell by his voice that he had a scratchy throat. You know, he was kind of sore a little, he was hurting a little bit over the past couple of days leading up to Friday. Mm-hmm. He said that between the chemo and the radiation, he's actually started both of those and was doing his show, running from treatment to show back to treatment, trying to bridge the gap between the two, and finally decided, this is crazy, I got to get this done. So between now and probably the end of February, he will not be doing his own show. Mark Davis, who subs in for a lot of Salem hosts.
Gallagher in fact, and all of them.
Occasionally he subs in for Rush. But Mark Davis is going to be probably filling that seat for most of the next 4 or 5 weeks or so.
Yeah, so we wanted to keep you updated on that. In particular, we want to ask you to pray for Michael Medved. I know every now and then we take issue with his positions, but that's what makes what we do great.
That's right.
Is that we're giving you a full spectrum, if you will, of conservative thought. And I do consider Michael Medved to be a conservative, and so does Lair. Sometimes we might like his views to be more conservative, but that's why we're here. And
right.
That's why it makes it a full experience. So please, please, please. Pray for Michael Medved. He's a good man. I'm not going to say anything about other radio hosts, but when we were at the Republican convention, was it 2012, on Radio Row there, we invited some hosts to be on our show. Michael Medved was the one gracious enough and not threatened enough by us to do it.
That's right.
And he was a great guest on our show, offered some great political insight because he had been going to these conventions since the 60s.
Right. Since he was a professed liberal.
Exactly. And after the show was over, we were taking photographs and sort of hoo-hawing around, and he was fun enough to have some photographs taken of him putting me in a headlock. and of course, he knew that we had sort of taken his 5 o'clock hour here in Orlando. Never, never, never once showed any hostility or any, animosity toward us for that.
Yeah.
And others who we obviously didn't touch their radio show, reckon they just didn't have time for us. But Michael Medved did, so I especially want to ask you to pray for him, that he comes back and does his show healthy and good as new. And so please, please, please do that. All right, I see we're already up against the first break, but we're just getting started with this 3-hour tour. 407-774-8255 is our number. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit about Wall Street, and maybe we can look forward in our crystal ball and project out into the future.
We can hope. Okay, like I said, we're undermanned. He's the skipper. I'm Gilligan, and forget all the rest. They'll be back some other day. The American Adversaries on a Sunday night. 3-hour tour.
We need to find us Marianne.
Stick with us.
This is Patricia Summerlin. When I'm in Central Florida, I like to snuggle with three sexy humps. Christopher Hart, Nestor Dennis, and Lair Adams. Ooh, the American Adversaries. These guys stimulate my brain.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks, and we hope we'll stimulate some thought on your part here tonight as we go through the show. Once again, we are live, so you can give us a call. We will be live until 8 o'clock, then John Butler Books live till 9, and Armed American Radio, I'm pretty sure, is going to be live 8 to 11. I mean, they did their show last year on Super Bowl Sunday. So.
And why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't they? So 407-774-8255 is our number. By the way, Jeff did have some pictures taken of he and Bailey and some mm-hmm. of the other wrestlers at the NXT event in Orlando yesterday, and they'll be posted up on our Facebook page this week.
But nothing with Jeff in a headlock. I'm surprised.
By the way, we appreciate all you folks who have been going to our Facebook page, and we want to encourage you to continue to do so, and everybody else as well. Please go there and like us and follow us, and it'll mean a whole lot to us. And we certainly do appreciate it. And Nostradamus is working hard to put up fresh stuff, funny stuff, thought-provoking stuff, and factual stuff, most importantly, each and every day, with perhaps the exception of Saturday and Sunday, but certainly every day during the week. And Saturday and Sunday when he gets a chance. So you need to go there and check it out, and please like us and send your friends there as well. All right. There's a saying on Wall Street that as goes January, Nostradamus,
so goes the year.
So goes the year.
Some years are like that. Some years break that trend. But in general, if the year starts on an upbeat, the market, then it will normally end up that way come the end of the year. There's always going to be ups and downs. But by the end of the year, if you're at the end of the month of January and you're up, by the end of the year, you will be up.
That's right. And if you pay any attention to the market, you notice that there was a pretty sad market this January. Had one of its worst Januaries in quite some time, as a matter of fact. And it's about due. You know, I don't want to presume to be a Gary Kaltbaum or anybody like that, but the market doesn't go straight in either direction. It has what they call corrections and dead cat bounces, and they got all these cool expressions, which basically means the market goes up. And the market goes down.
It went up in one direction and then went down in one direction like that, then it would be easy to invest in it.
Well, obviously. And it's been pretty easy to invest in this market recently because of the quantitative easing. In other words, the pumping of cash into the marketplace by the Fed. And there are signs that they're pulling back from that. And now there are signs that they're going to start turning the corner on interest rates and perhaps raising interest rates.
Right. From zero to 0.25%.
And then you take a look around the world, which market followers and investors often do, and you see that the rest of the world is their economies are pretty anemic. Russia's causing great problems, not only for themselves, but for other countries as well, and the instability that they're causing in Europe. And then, of course, you have what's going on in the Middle East and with the price of oil. And all of those things put together is making for a pretty sour market. And once again, I'm not trying to be Gary Kaltbaum. I'm certainly not trying to predict the stock market. But I am trying to tell you that nothing ever stays the same. And this market has been quite good for quite some time. As a matter of fact, of course, the Obama administration is bragging that this is one of their great success stories. But let's remember about all of the other things that they have bragged about being great success stories, like, say, Libya or Yemen or the Obamacare. Or the stimulus package.
Or the low price of oil.
Which for a while, that's what I'm getting at, for a while looked good, but then suddenly turned really bad.
Yeah.
And I believe I've mentioned this on the show before, but and we'll be talking about this a little bit later on when we talk about the last pope, believe it or not. But there is, I believe, we're on the brink, and I believe it's pretty much inevitable, and because I believe that a lot of the powers have bought into it, including this administration, that there is going to be a major ground war in the Middle East. That does not mean that there will be a lot of American military troops on the ground. For one reason, there can't be, because we don't have a lot, but there will be some. But it will be countries that are over there now fighting against one another, and it's going to be very brutal. It's going to be very bloody, and Israel is going to be caught up right in the middle of it. To get back to my original point, though, is that the stock market, regardless of where it goes, I believe that there are other things in January that portend for a bad year as well. The president being himself, the State of the Union speech, which was so much, you know, pap and BS that it is hard. You know, one thing the guy's good at is he throws out so much BS, it's kind of hard to respond to it all, right?
I mean, there's not enough shovels in Congress.
Basically. And then you get to Congress, and they're basically bumbling. Maybe they'll find their true footing as they get used to, I'm talking about the Republican leadership in particular, as they get used to their new role, which is a new role for them. It does not portend for a good year for the United States. And economic realities in this country are beginning to hit home. And the impressive, shall we say, gross national product numbers that were coming out in the fall have suddenly hit reality again with 2.6 for the final quarter of the year, and that was supposed to be a really good quarter. So the year ahead does not look good at all. So I'm not trying to get people down, but I am trying to be realistic that we shouldn't have high expectations that this Republican Congress is going to be able to get anything done really with this president other than do a lot of posturing, which is what he is doing as well. And doesn't matter to him if his programs get enacted by Congress. For one, he'll just keep posturing, and for two, he'll do what he can on his own to bring them about.
With his pen and his phone.
With his pen and his phone and cooperation of others. And so it's going to be a troubling year, I do believe. And once again, I'm not trying to, you know, tell you how to invest your money or anything like that. But I will say this. You need to be prepared. You need to be prepared. You don't need to be like the people in New York, you know, when de Blasio goes on TV and says a blizzard's coming and you rush out the door, you know, to buy toilet paper and water down at the store. You better already have your toilet paper and you better already have your water. And I suggest about a 3-month supply. Because you never know what's going to happen. Because if an all-out war does break out in the Middle East, this $40 barrel of oil is going to go away right quick. And it's going to be multiplied by, I would guess, between 5 and 10 times. Because you're going to talk about a major, major disruption in supply. And it's going to require, shall I say, major willpower on the part of the West to try to keep those supply lines open.
And the West does not have major willpower.
And that's part of the equation. So just, you know, just a note of caution. As January goes, oftentimes does the rest of the year go, as they say on Wall Street. So it might be a good time to take a look around and see what you're short of in your supply cabinet, and stock up.
So that great road trip to the Great Northwest might be out of the question for this summer?
Well, it might be. But it's something we need to be very concerned about, because the time with this administration is getting short, and that's going to make other players in the world get very anxious. And when they get anxious, they act and oftentimes make huge mistakes.
But cheer up, because you're listening to the American Adversaries, the classic edition on 660 The Answer. Yes, thank you, B. Brian Blair. The Lair is not here tonight, but the Chris and the Noster Dennis are. And we are the American Adversaries on a Sunday night, and thanking you for being a part of our night as we are a part of yours. What do we got coming up next, Chris?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, first of all, I want to just remind you folks about the awakening. I hope you heard Steve Gushov on our Drive Time show this past week talking about the awakening. This is an annual event that the Liberty Council is putting on. This year it will be at Carl's Church.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Carl, I understand, is going to be doing a live remote broadcast of his radio show there that morning. It's the Awakening starts at 8:30. Of course, his show starts at 8, so it's perfect timing. His church is the Faith Assembly Church at 9307 Curry Ford Road.
Hmm.
That's Faith Assembly at 9307 Curry Ford Road. That's just east of 436 there. And it will be March the 14th. And 8:30 to 5 is the time. The tickets are $20, and they're going fast. And
wow,
this could sell out because there is limited space inside that church.
$20 to see both Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum and Matt Staver and a bunch of other celebrities. And
including James Robinson.
Wow.
The TV evangelist. And a guest who, and Frank Gaffney is going to be there as well, speaking about Islam. But there's also going to be a guest that intrigues me, Kamal Saleem.
Really?
Kamal Saleem was trained as a child to be a terrorist, and by no fault of his own, but by the grace of God, he has found his way out of that life and is now going around warning people about that life. And that's a story, by the way, I saw a while back while we're on this right now in the Wall Street Journal about when ISIS goes into these towns and villages. What they do, and the other Islamic groups do this as well, is they round up the young boys. They kill the young men unless they are immediately want to join their group, they kill them. Kill the old men, too, for the most part. They trade off the women or take the women for themselves. And but the young boys, they train to be fighters. And these can be young boys as early as 6, 7 years old. They put guns in their hands and begin to train them and indoctrinate them at the same time. And in the Wall Street Journal, it was an article about two brothers. One brother was, I believe, 12 or 14 years old. The other brother was 9 years old. The 14-year-old had escaped because he didn't like what he was doing. But his 9-year-old brother had no problem cutting people's heads off. The earlier, because these terrorists understand that the earlier they get to these children, the easier it is to get them to, you know, believe their BS.
Yeah. Their minds have not yet formed an opinion of what is right and what is wrong, what is good, what is bad.
That's right. So they give them the Muslim version. Mm. And make no mistake, folks, they give them the Muslim version. Excuse me.
Version.
Yeah.
The virgin comes later.
Yeah, exactly. They give them the Muslim version of morality, which is kill the infidel if they don't pay taxes, bow down to you, or convert to Islam. And when you kill them, you cut their heads off. This is how you do it. This is the methodology, the proper way of killing an infidel. And that's why they do this. They didn't just come up to grab, snatch this out of the air. This is the way Muhammad said it is done. And he got it, I suppose, from Allah. Now, if that don't tell you, there's a bunch of falseness going on in that side of town, yeah, so to speak.
But Allah is allegedly the same God that Christians worship.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, that's the tactic of the devil, right? To tell you that he is good when he is evil.
Yeah.
All right. So the awakening, March 14th, 2015, 8:30 to 5 at Carl's Church, Faith Assembly on Curry Ford Road. Please be there. You can probably get your tickets now, and you can go to lc.com, that's libertycouncil.com, to get those tickets. That's lc.com, $20 each, and that's good for the day.
Now, I'm not sure what's the meaning of that subtitle, Rebuilding the Wall. I thought Reagan told Mr. Gorbachev to tear down that wall. Why are they rebuilding it?
Well, I'll just read this one paragraph. It says, join national religious and political leaders for an in-depth weekend of spiritual renewal and patriotism. I suppose that doesn't answer your question.
No, well, let's rebuild that wall.
There you go.
Whatever it does.
That's right. That's the awakening. All right. I want to awaken you to something that's going on when you drive your car. You know, we used to call license plates license tags. You remember that?
Yeah, that's a down
tags?
South thing. They don't do that in New York. They are plates.
All right, well, we eat grits down here, too, and you just don't know what you're missing up yonder. But
yeah, we do.
Yeah, license tags used to be the common phraseology for license plates. Well, license tags, you might want to start reusing that again because you're getting tagged as you drive around with your license plate. Do you mean, have any idea what I mean by getting tagged?
No. Is there an RFID inside license plates?
Well, basically, the surveillance cameras are good enough now to recognize your license plate, your license tag, and they call that tagging you.
Mm-hmm.
And the DEA has set up tagging all over the country, but fear not. Because the local and state police agencies have followed suit, and they are doing the same. And basically, when you go through these intersections and they have cameras, they're tagging you. And what that means is they're following your movements. So they're knowing where you and I are driving around town. Now, obviously, not every intersection has this equipment, but a lot of them do. And a matter of fact, more and more of them do. And some intersections, I can't understand why they have cameras there, but they do. There's one on 1792 at Clemwood or something over there in Orlando. It's there's a traffic light there, but it's 1792, and either way you go into a neighborhood on one side, and I forget what's on the other side, but yeah, a neighborhood on the other side, and I often wonder why do they have these surveillance cameras at this particular intersection and not at the traffic light down there at Mark's,
mm-hmm.
or have them there too, because
right,
there's a lot
at a
more
bigger crossing,
exactly,
yeah.
But they got them there, and evidently they are strategically placed. For other reasons, but also to tag us.
Now, they're visible cameras. You can see if you look up that they are there.
Oh, yeah. If you look for surveillance cameras, you'll see. They got the little domed ones with the little blue dome, and then they got the longer, elongated ones, which is sort of the old-fashioned style. And I'm sure that they got ones that don't even look like cameras.
And you're not allowed to drive a vehicle without a license plate.
Oh, absolutely not.
So you're at their mercy. They will know where you are.
That's right. We know this now because of the ACLU, bless their hearts, filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the Drug Enforcement Administration, who has admitted for years that they've been doing this, quote unquote, along the border. But I guess that border includes New Jersey and a major part of the Northeast because
the border of Maitland Avenue and Maitland Boulevard.
Well, because once the federal government starts doing something like this, you know the state agencies are going to be brought in. Whether they want to or not, the federal government's going to bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what has happened. And this has become quite a, you know, the thing about the telephones got a lot of attention. Well, this is just should get just as much attention from the privacy folks out there because they are following our movements around town. And, you know, obviously, you know, the old saying goes, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, what are you worried about?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is some of this information has been used to go after people who weren't convicted or even charged with any crimes.
Mm-hmm.
But had their property taken away from them simply because they happened to be driving, say, in areas where drug activity takes place. Now, who knows? Maybe they were looking for hookers or something else there. But the problem is this information is being taken by the government until now without our knowledge and using something as ubiquitous and as benign as a license plate to keep track of us all. It's reminiscent of what is it, 666 and stamping us all with a number?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the mark of the beastly car. That's right.
It so sort of is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And but it needs to be known by the public, and there needs to be accountability. But while we're on the subject, I would also say that this is the road we go down when we go down the road of prohibition. Now, I understand the arguments that we need to set moral standards and such as that, but when you set a moral standard that becomes a tool for the government to take away your freedom and your liberty, there is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Theoretically, you could be on your way to your next meeting at the Greater Orlando Tea Party, and the intersections you go through to get there could be monitored. And somebody in the government somewhere might not like that.
I'm happy you said that, because that brings me to the next part of the story.
Hmm.
Okay, that story broke Tuesday. This story broke Wednesday. A federal agent sought to spy on people going to gun shows using this technology so that they can create a database of people who they presume will have guns, whether they are registered with the government or not. In other words, if you're going to a gun show, you should be put under surveillance so that they should know in the future if they need to come to your house to get your gun. This is being done in the name of keeping us safe and in the name of prohibition. Because it all started with the DEA going after drug traffickers. And we all wanted to go after drug traffickers, don't we? Yeah, but here's the problem. When they go after the drug traffickers, we all get lumped in together. Because we're all living around and amongst the drug traffickers. So you can say they're spoiling it for the rest of us. But the problem is, it is being spoiled. And the only true solution, I hate to say it, is you got to take the teeth out of the tiger that's biting us, and that means the DEA needs to be defanged by drug legalization. I'm sorry you don't like that, folks, many of you out there, and you what are we going to do with morality in this? Well, that's where the church needs to step up. It is up to the church to set the moral standards in our society, not the doggone government. When we leave it up to the doggone government, the government's going to peek in our bedrooms and everywhere else they can in order to make sure that we are behaving correctly. That's what this amounts to.
Here's a note to the DEA, and this is just for the sake of efficiency and maybe cost savings. If you have cameras that can read our license plates, you also have cameras that can read the bumper sticker that says, I'm the NRA and I vote, or Ron Paul 2012.
And if you want to use the argument, well, maybe I wasn't driving my car that day, these same cameras are taking pictures of you driving your car that day.
And they can
see
the burrito you're eating, too.
Or whatever else you might have, scratching or picking your nose or picking your butt or whatever you might be doing in there. They are watching you, and they are syncing that up with the tags so that they can identify identify exactly who it is driving that car that day and where they are going. By the way, the government claims that this request by this agent was turned down. But who knows what else? And the document that says that it was turned down is greatly redacted. In other words, a lot of the pertinent information has been blacked out.
Yeah, it's highlighted in black.
So probably what they said was, no, you can't do it unless this, this, that, and that. And of course, this, this, that, and that means anytime you see that it's necessary, which means every day. So this is what our government's doing in the name of protecting us. Thank you very much, but we don't need it. No, we can take care of ourselves. We're grown folks, most of us, and what we need is the government to get the hell out of the way and quit looking over our shoulders and start dealing with the real problem, which is Islamic terrorists and Islamic fundamentalists around the world and, yes, amongst us as well. That's where they need to be focusing their attention, not tagging our cars as we're driving around town here.
It's the American Adversaries, the Sunday night edition. Coming up, Nostradamus' favorite segment. It's called Nostradamus Predicts the Past. And I promise tonight, I will predict it with 100% accuracy. In fact, I'll even give you the score of the Super Bowl before the game starts.
Oh! Huh? I tell you what, there's something about this radio time, Nostradamus. Even with just two of us in the studio, the time still just flies by.
It really does, yeah. It really does. And you know why? Because time flies when you're having fun. And when you're doing what we love to do, talking to each other, hopefully talking to people who want to call us and talk to us at 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-TALK. Time flies really, really quickly, and I love it.
All right, speaking of time flying, it's time to look into the past.
Nostradamus.
Yeah.
Predict the past.
Thank you very much, Mr. 5-Minute Professor. And just to remind the 5-Minute Professor, I will be stopping by tonight. He's having a little party. He and his girlfriend Patty are having folks over to his superb owl party. Because he thinks owls are superb, and he wants to celebrate them tonight. And
the wise old owl.
If we had that head cam and Lucas was in the studio, I could show you my superb owl T-shirt here. It's one of the screech owls from Avian Reconditioning Center out in Apopka, where my daughter volunteers.
All right. Where in Apopka is that?
Enough of that. They are on West Leicester Road. It's a new road. They just finished going right out to the main drag, what Park Avenue turns into.
Yeah.
Is it Rock Springs Road when it gets up that far?
Mm-hmm. Yep, up towards Pontcan.
Yeah, West Leicester Road, and they open every Saturday to the public. You can go and see all their birds. They got some eagles. They have falcons. They even have a turkey vulture. They got all kinds of
animals. Interesting, because we're
going to
be talking about some birds later on in the show when we talk about the last pope.
Oh, my goodness. It's going to be interesting.
Indeed, I think it will be.
Well, anyway, these are some of the stories we tried to get to but just couldn't. We did talk a little bit about Friday. The Republican presidential nomination, right now the predictions on who's the most popular candidate on the Republican side. And we did them Mitt Romney and Mitt out Romney. And if you speak German, then you get that. Without Mitt Romney in the race, the big winner, as expected, is Jeb Bush. But Mike Huckabee gains a little. Chris Christie gains a little. Rick Perry gains a little. The big losers, Ben Carson goes down from a 9% support to 8.4%. I don't get that without another, without Romney in the race, Carson loses ground. Rand Paul also loses ground there. Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin, loses ground. So I don't know what to make of polls like these, but a year and a half out.
Real quickly, what was the source of that poll?
This is a Real Clear Politics. It's an average of Fox News polls, CNN, ABC, McClatchy, and Quinnipiac.
Okay.
And so Real Clear Politics is where I go when I want to get a fairly unbiased take on what's going on and who's really popular. They do a good job of coalescing a lot of different sources into one big average.
Okay.
They do that for a lot of races.
All right, because they did a poll in Iowa. And Huckabee was a big winner. He moved up. Santorum moved up. Jeb didn't move up so much. So as you were getting ready to say, though, this is real early in the game. But the bottom line is the underlying story is the one who I believe, and I've said this on the show the past week, who really won out by Mitt getting out is Jeb Bush.
Sure. Sure is.
But it kind of, brought about Mitt getting out because Mitt's supporters were telling him, we're going with Jeb.
Right. And what will happen is the big players and the big strategists are going to go with one guy or another, and there's always defection from one camp to another. And if you defect, you can always defect back if the guy you defect to drops out, but you're going to end up going walking the streets in a precinct in Iowa. You're not going to be one of the big players if you do something like that. So it's a strange dance these people do.
Yeah, that's right. You got that right. Okay, what else you got?
All right, Bo Bergdahl is going to be charged with desertion. Problem is, the White House is delaying the announcement of that decision to file charges against him. In defending claims he originally made Monday on the O'Reilly Factor on Fox that Bergdahl would be charged, retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer told O'Reilly, there is no doubt the White House is dragging out its decision. They said Schaefer, there's no time limit on this decision. Pentagon spokesman Rear Admiral John Kirby even said there's no pressure. Of course, the moment you say that, there's pressure. What they didn't say was more compelling than their denial.
Yeah, and of course, the administration wants to keep this out of the news as much as possible, not so much because of Bo Bergdahl, because of the five terrorists that let go from Gitmo to buy his freedom. Those terrorists, by the way, at the end of this year will be free to leave Qatar, I believe was the country where they were sent, where, by the way, they can travel about freely. And one of them is already making contact with the Taliban in Afghanistan to coordinate efforts. It's once again, this is one of the administration's so-called success stories where we see after a little bit of time, it wasn't a very big success at all. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, there's an ancillary word on that story. Several U.S. officials across different agencies and branches have confirmed that at least one of the five that they traded has gone out and tried to engage again in militant activity. And they're trying to figure out right now whether to categorize this guy, who they will not announce which of the five it is, of being suspected of reengagement, or be stronger than suspected, be confirmed for returning to illegal activities. Well, hey, if they're involved in illegal activities, maybe we should go pick them up.
Well, no, what I would do is take one of them drones and put a Hellfire missile up their butt and explode it. And that would teach maybe the other ones a little bit of a lesson, too. I'm certainly, if we can tag people over here, we can probably keep surveillance of them over there. I don't know the wonders of technology anymore and drones and all that sort of thing. But this administration, I should say, is suspect in taking care of such matters on their own.
Well, President Obama has not been afraid to use drones in the past. That's his preferred method of dealing with insurgents. But he needs to have the will to do that.
Well, he has had the will when they weren't releasees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's right.
So, in other words, if he goes over there and kills one of his own prisoners that he released, it sort of calls into question his decision to release him in the first place, does it not?
That's right.
And by the way, they're continuing to release prisoners, and while we're on the subject, and this was quite predictable and sort of the way I predicted it, when I said Obama's going to close Gitmo and probably going to give it back to Castro. Well, Castro thanked the president for his diplomatic overtures, shall we say, by giving a speech on Wednesday when he said, here's what it's going to take to really improve relations with the United States. You're going to close Gitmo, you're going to turn it back over to us, and you're going to pay us reparations for all those years that he had the embargo on us. Thank you very much, Mr. Obama. Now it's your move. You see, this is what the doofus gets, you see, when he makes deals with the bad guys. They end up treating him like the doofus that he is. So it was quite expected. And you know, the only thing I'm sure Obama is mad about is that Castro went out there and said what he planned to do anyway. So now it makes it harder for him to do it.
Because it'll make him look like he's following the orders of a tin pot dictator.
10-4.
Hey, in Phoenix, did you hear the big news?
Mm-mm.
No, nothing about any sports event that might or might not be happening this weekend. Guess who's running for re-election?
In Phoenix.
Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
Okay.
He's reaching out to his supporters for assistance because he says, my opponents, of which you and I know there are many, would love nothing more than to see me defeated. He sent an email to his followers saying he's running again. He's calling it the toughest re-election of his career. Did you know that he has served six consecutive four-year terms? He's been sheriff at Maricopa County nearly a quarter century, and he is 82 years old.
Well, reminds me of a sheriff here in Orange County by the name of Dave Starr, who was a sheriff for a long time, I believe in like the 60s. And Yeah. So, well, good luck to him.
Well, when you do what you love, you're never working a day in your life. And he loves putting pink underwear on prisoners' heads. So why are we going to stop him from doing that?
Kind of like us, what we're doing. We love what we're doing, and we don't wear pink underwear on our heads. But you only live twice, folks, so make the best of both go-arounds.
I'm not going to tell you where we do put pink underwear.
Hey, wait a minute. We got to talk about that Super Bowl score.
Okay,
back.
I will.
616. When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Back to the show, folks. I hope you're feeling good. Nostradamus and I are feeling just on the top of our game tonight. Mm-hmm. But we welcome you to be a part of the show as well. You do have the American adversaries. We are live, right? We're well into our three-hour Sunday evening tour. And thank you for being with us tonight. We know it's a big night. We know it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Shh. Don't promote the competition.
But if you'll just turn the volume down on your TV and listen to us and watch the game, you'll be all set. And if you can't watch the game and you are listening to us when the game does kick off here in about a half hour or so, 20 minutes or so anyway, we'll give you updates as they occur in the game. Johnny Guns will join us from Glendale.
He's in Glensdale, and he will be calling in from there, yes.
Okay, so he'll be calling
in WTF
News from Glensdale.
Yes.
Sunny is in Phoenix, our California glow girl, and she'll be checking in with us later on as well. And you can be a part of the show, too, 407-774-8255. And we keep that phone close because later on in this hour of the show, we will be doing our Who Said That contest. In the meantime, before we get in any further, Nostradamus teased almost two segments ago now that he was going to give us the score of the game before it started.
Yeah, I don't want to tease people without actually bringing that tease to fruition.
Right.
So here goes.
Yeah, let's keep waiting any longer.
And you know I cannot use my prognostication, my ability to read things in the future or the past for personal gain. So
right.
This is nothing I bet any money on.
Okay.
But just as a public service to you, it's probably too late to call Vegas, but I will give you the score of this year's Super Bowl before the game begins.
And?
The score of the Super Bowl before the game begins will be nothing to nothing. I predict that's what it will say on the scoreboard
You had me going. By the way, we were talking earlier, one of the many Wall Street adages is, As the first week in January goes, so goes January. And as January goes, so goes the year. That doesn't portend good things for the year. But there's another Wall Street adage that whoever wins the Super Bowl gives you an indication. When the National League team wins...
National Conference.
Okay, yeah. What
so
am I thinking?
All the NFL now.
I'm already thinking spring training. Yeah. When the National Conference wins, the stock market tends not to do so well. When the American Conference wins, it tends to do better.
So now I have to say go Patriots? Oh.
Oh, we shall see. We shall see. All right, thank you for that, Nostradamus. By the way, if you're watching tonight's Super Bowl, and I hope you're watching. Is it the opposite?
That's what I thought.
I'm sorry, I got it backwards.
I think that's what made me an NFC fan.
Okay,
besides being a Giants fan.
When the NFC wins, because the Seahawks won last year. That's right.
And the stock market had a good rebound.
Yes, and so when the NFC wins, the market tends to do well. When the AFC, thank you, Jeff. When
the AFC wins,
that's Jeff Sinis on the bridge, keeping us on our toes here
Much
tonight.
Better.
But if you are watching the game tonight, and I hope you're listening to us as you are, the commercials, once again, are a big part of the entertainment of Super Bowl Sunday. And this year, there will be more newbies, in other words, new companies advertising on the Super Bowl during Super Bowl game than any year since 2000 when you had all those upstart.coms. Remember those? And a lot of them had pretty cool commercials, but unfortunately, they had no revenue, so they went away.
They blew a year's budget on advertising. They never got the revenue to cover on a single commercial for the whole year, and now most of them are gone.
Yeah,
now, I don't know. Are these new guys, is that good, or does that mean that companies that have been around for years have figured out that blowing $1.5 million on a Super Bowl ad is not a good investment of their money?
We shall see, but it's my understanding that a lot of these are new companies. But once again, you will see when the Super Bowl ads. One ad you will not see is the GoDaddy ad about the little puppy who gets sold off at the end of a heartwarming story. But as I say, the part of the fun of watching the Super Bowl is the commercials.
No sense of humor.
Anheuser-Busch, who is becoming more and more socialist, I hate to say it, by the day. They're going to have this great Clydesdale commercial. Whether doing away with the Clydesdale program.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bogus. But that's Anheuser-Busch in this
day. Once they stopped giving away free beer at Busch Gardens, I haven't been back to Busch Gardens.
Yeah.
I'm just there for the beer.
I hear you. Okay. I want to talk about another serious subject during this hour of the show. Once again, you can join us as well. And it's about the new Pope. You know, I've been very perplexed by this Pope. You know, on the one hand, I understand, I believe that part of what he's trying to do is reinvigorate the church. Let's say the efforts of the church to gain new followers have been falling short.
As well as to bring back many who have left the church, and there are millions.
Exactly. And I think I hope that that's what this Pope's goal is. Let me put it that way. I think that his approach is to be more the common man, be more, if you will, marketable, because he's more, for lack of a better word, politically correct and more palatable to more people. Having said that, the Catholic Church is still very strong in various parts of the world that we might consider third world countries, or at least countries not in the top tier of countries like the United States.
The Philippines.
They're certainly not third world country, but, you know, they're not the United States. Yeah. Catholicism is very popular there. He has to keep it popular in those countries, but he has to do the other two. And so that's why I think he is of a different, shall we say, beat than recent popes. But still, I'm perplexed by him because part, I believe, of the power of the papacy is its for lack of a better word, religiousness. And if the Pope gets too secular, he's taking the papacy with him. You follow where I'm going here?
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of TV preachers of the Protestant denomination that can get through a whole hour worth of preaching and not mention the name Jesus Christ. I'm not going to call anyone out. Osteen. Excuse me. I had something in my throat there.
The fellow that wears the perms.
There's a whole bunch of really secular preachers out there who really don't emphasize Christ crucified. I think that's something that the Catholic Church at a local level does great. I know that this particular Pope believes in God. I know he believes passionately in God. But projecting it the right way is a tough trick for someone who's never been Pope before.
I believe it is, and I believe that it may be a mistake taking the path that he is taking to be more the common man. Because, as I said, that is not what the papacy has been throughout history. And that's been part of its, you know, attractiveness, its charm, if you want to use that word, is that it is not secular. And that's what people want in their religion. And if you look around the world, I think that you will find that more people are unfortunately gravitating toward Islam than they are toward Christianity. And I'm not talking necessarily in the United States, but I'm talking about around the world. Islam has 1.6 billion followers worldwide. 62% of them are under the age of 30. And look at what they're seeing their religion doing. And they're accepting it. As a matter of fact, many of the youngest followers are coming because that's where they want to be. And they see, I don't think the attractiveness is hacking heads off and stuff like that. But I do think that the attractiveness is the fundamental and total dedication to the cause, if you will.
Right. You can't be a Muslim in many of these countries and be wishy-washy about it. You can be a wishy-washy Catholic or Protestant any day.
But that's the problem with the wishy-washy Catholics and Protestants. It doesn't attract new followers.
That's right.
This is my point here. You see, the dedication, the faith, the belief is what attracts others to it. And when there is not that, Tim, please call back. I intend to get to your phone call. I see we had a call, and I will get back to you, Tim, if we can get that line reestablished. The attractiveness in religion comes not so much from the preaching of it as it does from the living of it. And this is where the Pope was a living example, if you will, of Catholicism and all the pomp and circumstance that went with that. And that's what this Pope, I don't believe, gives enough weight to, because he has shucked all the pomp and circumstance. He's bragged, he's credited because he drives around this old jalopy car, and, you know, he doesn't go in, he lives in a little tiny apartment and stuff like that. Well, that's politically correct, but it's not very popish, okay? And I was talking to my brother this morning, and he had seen last night a show about a prophecy and a Jewish Orthodox Jewish scholar was talking about middle-aged prophet who predicted there would be 112 popes, named them all, supposedly, and the last one was going to be named Francis, and he is the 112th pope. Hence the title of tonight's segment, The Last Pope, because it did give me a different perspective on it, because I do believe we have seen the last pope in the traditional sense of the pope. And it's not this guy. It's Benedict. Benedict was kind of the last one to hold on to the traditions of what we know, what we understood the pope to be.
So you're saying the second to last pope is actually the last pope in your mind?
In my mind, he is. And that this guy is the transition figure and is going to make the pope into a secular figure. And as such, he is going to defang the tenets of the Catholic Church.
If you're right, and I hope and pray you're not, but if you're right, for every person he attracts to this, quote, new Catholicism, you're going to see two or three fall away because they realize that what was no longer is, and they're not going to want to be a part of it.
He's betting that he can hang on to them as well. But we'll continue the conversation because, yeah, that's going to come into play. But he is going after a different market, shall we say, right now. And, yeah, you're not going to be able to have everything that you want. You can't have your cake and eat it, too, even if you are Pope Francis.
I want my cake, and I want to eat it. Yeah, we're tough guys. And you know what? You're tough guys and tough gals out there because you're listening to the American Adversaries Classic Edition on a Sunday night, live, nothing in the can. We are all live, hot and fresh. Nostra Dennis here with Christopher Hart, with Jeff Sennis pressing buttons on the other side of the glass. And we were going to be with Tim from Castleberry, but he hung up on us. So, Tim, call us back. We want to say hello.
He had a guest for our Who Said That contest even before we give you the question.
How can you? He's not a prognosticator, is he?
He must have psychic powers.
That's very funny. If you want to try to call in, though, Jeff is ready for your call, 407-774-8255.
Just as a side note, when I was going to UCF graduate school studying political science, you don't the classes are not very large, so normally you just sit around tables, a table or two, you know, and might be 12 or 15 of you. And one of the classes I was taking was with Professor Stern, Mark Stern, I believe was his name, and brother of former NBA commissioner
Daniel.
Yeah, Stern.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
And they both look remarkable. They could have been twins. I don't think they were. But anyway, we were in the class discussing politics one day, and he was looking around the class, and for some reason, I forget exactly what, but he said, where would I be if I could predict the outcome of elections? And he happened to turn and look at me when he said it, and I looked back at him, and I said, Casadega? Everybody in the class got it except for the people who weren't from Central Florida.
Would he be one of the mediums or one of the spirits? Because would he have been put down for knowing the results of all those elections?
In politics, probably the latter.
Yeah.
Speaking of put down, did you see what happened last year? You know, there's a tradition in Vatican City where I guess it's the Sunday after Christmas, they would release a pair of doves as a children would do it as a sign of for peace, a hope for peace, like a prayer for peace.
Right.
Did you see what happened last year when the doves were released?
No, I didn't.
Well, this year they didn't release doves. They released a couple of balloons instead because last year, which was, I believe, the first Christmas of the new pope, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was.
Well, when the doves were released, to the horror of the people watching, a crow and a seed gull attacked the doves and evidently carried them off.
Ow. Ow.
Could maybe that be a sign of something?
You gotta wonder. If they pick a pope by looking for the smoke coming out of the building, what can crows and seagulls
How
mean?
How often do you see a seagull attack a dove?
No, not unless he really thinks it's mine.
Anyway, to get back to the new pope, I believe that something very fundamental is going on in the Catholic Church. I would not be surprised if this is, got outside influence from the quote-unquote powers that be in the West or elsewhere, because I don't think this pope is an accident. I don't think he was chosen, strictly speaking, by the cardinals. I think that this is a pope of a this is a different breed. You have to admit that this guy is not your typical pope. Can we at least agree on
that? There's a whole bunch of things he is that's never happened before. There's never been a pope from South America, which blows your mind considering how Catholic South America is.
And that gets back to my point. One of the reasons, if he is there to reinvigorate the church, you would perhaps pick someone from a country of that part of the world, or maybe Indonesia or Asia, where there is still strong support for Catholicism, but where you also need to bolster that support. And it kills two birds with one stone because it's politically correct and appeals to the intelligentsia, who I believe are the ones who are behind this pope, because they want to use the power of the papacy to bring about secular changes in the world, the socialist changes that we see going on before our eyes in this country.
Now, that's the second time in 5 minutes you mentioned killing two birds. Come on.
Well, I told you earlier we'd be talking about birds. But
you definitely wouldn't want to pick a pope if that were your criteria from Europe, because Europe's churches, basically, they're all museums. Hardly anyone in Europe goes to a Catholic church to pray or to say Mass.
Well, heck, we just did that story, a few weeks ago, talking about the one Catholic church over there in England somewhere, I believe it was, has been turned into a Frankenstein-themed bar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, they get more people in that way.
That's pretty much polemic.
Yeah.
In other words, going from one extreme to the other. And, totally religious to totally decadence.
Yeah, well, in downtown Manhattan.
Not that I have anything against the Frankenstein-themed bars, but it just ain't very religious, you got to admit.
No, in downtown Manhattan, there is a place, it's an alternative bar that plays all kinds of strange music on weekends, and all kinds of people gather there. It's called the Cathedral.
Yeah.
It's a renovated building that used to be used as a cathedral back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
It's almost blasphemy.
Yeah. But in the end, I think, and by the way, there are a lot of Catholics in this country that were disgusted with Catholicism that like this new pope.
Yeah.
Okay, because they wanted to see that political correctness. They want to see changes in the church. They want to see, for instance, women priests. They want to see priests marry. Maybe some of these changes would be good, but I think it needs to be done with a pope that has sort of that traditional air of, you know, I don't want to use the word supremacy, but of popishness.
Pope John Paul II had a great way of balancing the majesty of
majesty,
the papacy.
Majesty, that's the word. Thank you.
But balancing it with the humility and with the love that can come from being a servant of God. It is hard to do one, much less do both.
And I don't think this guy does both. That may be by design or not, but he doesn't. And in the end, in the long run, I don't think this is going to be good for the Catholic Church. Because once again, people look to religion to be something otherworldly than this. And that was part of the majesty, as you say, the attractiveness of the papacy, of the Pope, is that it provided that. You know, you can see it with Christianity. And Muslims understand this. This is not lost on them. And they are using that psychology to their advantage. And I think that secularizing the papacy, which is what the effect of what is this Pope is doing, is a mistake in the long run. We shall see. But I would not be surprised to find out that this Pope was, as I said, not entirely picked by the cardinals alone. And maybe he's not the first one that fits that bill.
You're such a conspiracy theorist.
But, you know, two doves attacked by a seagull and a crow.
That reminds me of the story the big guy likes to tell about the endangered sea pups up when the Exxon Valdez ran aground.
Yeah.
That the environmentalists came up there and took these like birds and sea otters and things and scrubbed them all up and got them nice and clean.
Washed them with Dove and other things.
Brought them to the end of the pier.
Dishwashing soap.
And released them back into the wild. And from out of the darkness of the water, a whale came up and swallowed them both and went back down into the water.
There's got to be a message in that somewhere. There just has to be.
Goodness.
All right. And the message for us here is the game's getting ready to kick off. If it hasn't just already, we will give you updates as we can get the scores. So if you're listening to us, you don't have to watch the game to know what's going on. We'll keep you updated. But if you're watching the game, please keep the volume down on your TV set. Keep the volume up on your radio because we still have half the show to go.
Yeah, they might be kicking off, but man, we're getting ready for halftime. Getting ready to stretch our tights and come back for more with the American adversaries undermanned but not deflated. Sunday, February 1st show. Stick around. We're going to be right back.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries. We are still live, and we'll be here until 8 o'clock when we hand the ball off to John Butler Book, and he'll take you live until 9 o'clock on our sister station, WTLN 950. And wait a minute, did I get that right? Yeah, WTLN 950. And then, of course, on AM 660, The Answer here, you got us until 8 o'clock, and then you have Mark Walters and Armed American Radio live until 9 o'clock tonight. So you still got a lot of great live radio on the air. You can be listening to us as you watch the Super Bowl. We will give periodic updates on Super Bowl score as we get them from Jeff. He's monitoring it on the computer there.
Just confirmed with Johnny. He's going to be calling in right at 7:30 with some WTF news live from Glensdale.
Can you imagine that? How does he rate getting that go to
what
Glensdale?
What can I say? Might be a radio row there or something. I don't know. Maybe he just hitched out there. I don't know.
All right. And in the next half hour of the show, Sonny is going to join us as well. And you can join us. And by the way, get that phone ready because it is time for our Who Said That contest. 407-774-8255 is the number. You know how to play the contest if you've listened to the show before. If you have not, it's real easy. We read a quote, and you simply tell us who said it. And if you do, you will win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant all Central Florida. We go there weekly, and they got great specials all the time. Tuesday night is prime rib night. And by the way, you should probably make a reservation for you can reserve your prime rib order. And it's a good idea on Tuesday night because they will sell out of them. But you won't need a knife to cut it with. You can just bring a fork or a spoon. That stuff is really tender.
I had one last week, and it wasn't even Tuesday night prime rib night, and it was juicy tender.
That was a special.
And they had it blackened, which is how I like it.
Yeah, it was. That was the special for last Wednesday night, I think it was. We were there. 407-774-8080 is the number for Cafe Positano. They have a fine dining area. They have a full bar. They have casual dining. They have takeout. 407-774-8080. Make sure you say hey to Pasquale when you go over there. And yeah, he'll be back on the show soon. And So I thank all you folks, though, who go in there and ask him when he's going to be back on the show.
Yeah, because that means more pizza for us. And tonight it would mean three slices each. Imagine that, Jeff.
Yeah, there you
go. Nice big garlic pizza with just the three of us.
Yeah, there you go. So 407-774-8080 is the number for Cafe Positano. They actually have three restaurants, but that restaurant that I'm talking about is 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436. They also have a couple of pizzerias. That's a full-blown restaurant. They have a couple of pizzerias. One is on Edgewater Drive in College Park, right across from Bishop Moore High School, and the other is in Sanford on the Target Supercenter there. So please take advantage of Cafe Positano. And if you win this $20 gift card, maybe we'll run into you over here at Cafe Positano. You'll also win a My Liberty Threads T-shirt. These are made in America and with proud American patriotic slogans on them, compliments of My Liberty Threads. You can go to MyLibertyThreads.com and check them out. And, of course, we're linked up with them on our website because they are one of our sponsors. You'll find them on our sponsor row, banner row, so to speak, at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com.
You can even get the one that says, when is it my turn to be offended?
That seems to be a very popular one.
Yeah.
All right, so if you know who said this, give us a call, 407-774-8255. One caveat, I'd like somebody new or somebody who hasn't won for a long, long time, at least initially. We'll see if somebody can get it. If not, then later on we'll open it up to anybody. But I'd like to know who told Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connell to, and I quote, loosen up, Sandy baby. If you know who that is, give us a call. Who told Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connell to, and I quote, loosen up, baby. O'Connor, I'm sorry, Sandra Day O'Connor, to loosen up, Sandy baby. If you know who said that, give us a call, 407-774-8255. Let me say it one more time since I miswrote it and mispronounced her name. Who told Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor to, quote-unquote, loosen up Sandy Baby?
Sounds like something Rick James would say.
Yeah. All right. It's going to take somebody with some guts anyway. But 407-774-8255 is the number, and please give us a call. In the meantime, while we're on the path of me expressing my concerns tonight, let me express my concern for Israel, because one of the things that I'm very fearful of is that, especially when you get and here's why I'm putting my tin hat again, my conspiratorial hat.
Mm, that's my hat. You can wear it.
When you get, it fits pretty good. When you get a fella who's full of himself like Barack Obama and thinks he can sort out the world and sets about to do it, to me that proves that he's not a very smart person. But to the lay person, they would see that as a smart person. And it does take some degree of thinking skills, cognitive skills to pull it off. And after all, he did get elected to be president of the United States, so we can't say he's a complete idiot.
I think in Yiddish it's called chutzpah.
Chutzpah, yes. He's got it. And unfortunately, it's a very dangerous thing for somebody like him who's not nearly as smart as he thinks he is. And whether he is intending this or not, what I think that he has done in his fickleness and his fecklessness and perhaps his design in the Middle East is that he has put Israel at tremendous risk. And what I'm afraid of happening most of all is that if an all-out war breaks out between the Arabs and the Persians, between the Sunnis and the Shia, between ISIS and whoever else, that Israel is going to be the biggest casualty. Because that will be used as an excuse to involve them in the conflict. And with this president, I cannot imagine him coming to the defense of Israel. So it's very important that we continue to support Israel in spite of this president. Now, Bibi Netanyahu is coming to speak before Congress. We can debate whether it was a good idea for John Boehner to invite him or not, especially in the time of politics going on over there. And we'll be talking about this with Abe when we get him back on the show. But the bottom line is they've now put the pressure on Bibi Netanyahu to make a very good speech about what's going on over there and the plight that Israel has been placed in. He is very capable of doing that. But I think that we need to, as we pray for Michael Medved and others and for other guidance, that we also need to be praying for Bibi Netanyahu to have God's guidance, because he's going to need to give one barn burner of a speech. It's going to be a speech where people are going to have to turn around and look at Barack Obama and say, now what do you say about that? Because Barack Obama is MIA, missing in action, when it comes to protecting Israel. As a matter of fact, all the stories out of the White House since this news broke about Netanyahu speaking in front of Congress has been about how somebody's going to have to pay. You know, it is not the kind of, shall we say, diplomatic language coming out of the White House that one would like to hear towards our biggest ally in the Middle East, irregardless of if that ally is doing something to make you mad or not. Typically speaking, a good statesperson would say something more to the effect of, instead of we're going to get even, is that we would much rather have been consulted, and in the future we trust that we will be. Now, that, and it is simply said, carries enough of a threat in and of itself, but it doesn't really, you know, put it out there for the world to see that you're petulant and really pissed off because, you know, this prime minister is going to come over here and essentially address the American nation and give them an argument that you have been trying to hide from them, which is what this administration has been doing.
Well, how dare John Boehner give the platform of Congress to Bibi Netanyahu to campaign for election in Israel from here? Because the U.S. shouldn't be involved in Israel's elections. Isn't that right, President Obama?
Yeah, who has sent one of his campaign strategists to help the opposition parties in Israel. You got the story.
Yeah, in 2012, his field director, Jeremy Byrd, was part of the group that helped re-elect the president. And there's a group called One Voice, which is pulling Mr. Byrd over to Israel. Basically, what they're doing is they're going to do their best to fund any candidate they can who's not named Bibi Netanyahu.
Right.
Because it really doesn't matter which one of them gains votes, as long as Netanyahu loses votes.
Right, because once again, it's a parliamentary system. They have a coalition government over there. So basically what they're trying to do is, if they can't win the election, they want to basically essentially filibuster. All right, keep Netanyahu from getting all the votes that he needs to form a coalition government.
And even if he wins, he may not get enough seats to have a simple majority.
Right, exactly. So once again, we will be taking this up with Abe Katzman. But beyond the politics of it all, I fear that part of why the president is allowing, if you will, the Middle East to fall apart has Carl had made some great points on his show yesterday. I must say he was making me angry because I was sitting there thinking, now, why didn't I think of that?
But, he does that a lot.
Yeah, but he was talking about how Barack Obama's focused against colonization. And certainly that is a big part of, by the way, Marxism, Marxist language. I mean, you got Marx, who wrote Marx, you know, the Marxist theory, along with Frederick Engels. And then you have all the writers who came after them, who wrote about how it was to be implemented and what it meant and how it applied to the real world, so to speak. In other words, they took the philosopher Marx and the philosopher Engels and tried to take their writings and apply them to the real world. And colonization and attacking, you know, that that what they perceive to be capitalist, you know, tactic around the world is part of their language. So it fits right in with the communist mentality that this president is quite well schooled in. There's no question about that. But I think it may go deeper than that. We'll have to go after, talk about this more after the break, though.
Hey, it's the American Adversaries Sunday Night Show. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back. Yeah, we are bad men, aren't we? No, we're actually pretty good men. I'm not a bad man. I'm a good man. I am Nostradamus. That is Christopher Hart. Jeff Sennis over there pressing the buttons and answering your phone calls to put you on hold to talk to us. If you have an answer to that, who said that question? And the quote is, who told Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor to, quote, loosen up, Sandy baby? I know who that was. I knew it when you asked. Oh, and just so you know, there's no need to be watching any football because my prediction of what the score would be before the game started still stands for right now. Still nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing going on.
Nothing going on at the Super Bowl. All right. All right, it's about 10 minutes into the game, so we'll keep you updated on the score. In the meantime, we don't have any callers who have even a guess. I tell you what, even if you call with a guess, if you're the first one with a guess and nobody gets it right,
you win.
You'll be declared the winner. And it's real easy. Just think of Super Bowl Sunday. That might lead you in the right direction.
But it could.
Yeah, we're looking for somebody new or somebody who hasn't won in a long time. But who told, as Nostradamus said, Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor to loosen up Sandy Baby. So give us a call at 407-774-8255.
That was easy.
There you go. That was easy. All right. And before we get too much further in the show, I want to remind you the John Butler book will be coming on live as soon as we're done at 8 o'clock, and he'll take you till 9 o'clock up the dial at WTLN 950. And Armed American Radio, of course, is live until from 8 until 11 right here on AM 660, The Answer. All right. Another thing I wanted to talk a little bit about was our website, because I'd certainly like you folks to go there and check it out. I want to apologize to you out there who have already signed up and become recruits. We haven't gotten the first newsletter out yet. I apologize for that, but it will be out this week. And we have sweetened our offer. Not only will you get the newsletter, you will also get coupons to Cafe Positano, 20% off, 10% off at Refresh Computers. You can save a lot of money there on a new computer. And then, you, of course, $25 off a home inspection by Aubrey Kahn, whether it's a wind mitigation inspection or a full home inspection if you're buying or selling a house or other commercial property. He can help you out on that. You will also get the people who have already signed up, and the next 25 will get a copy of John Casey's most recent climate status report. They charge normally $8.95 for that report, so unless you get it free from us or as part of our recruit deal, you got to pay up for it. They do have a free summary that you can see at their website, spaceandscience.net. And by the way, they are once again linked up with us on our webpage. You will get the free full report if you sign up with the American Adversaries Army. It's real easy to do. Like I said, just go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Either on the homepage, there's plenty of places on the homepage that will direct you to the recruiting office. Or if you go there for the first time, you'll get a screen where you can go to one or the other. I'd appreciate it very much. We need your help. If you like this show, this is one way that you can help us to continue to do the show. And it's only $5 a month. And as I said, there'll be more things along the way. And if you're signed up and we come up with a new incentive to get others to sign up, you will get that incentive as well. So you don't have to worry that if you hold out, you'll get a better deal.
Now, all these offers, these are all real and genuine. I mean, you have no artificial sweeteners in there, right?
No,
bad for you.
This is a healthy web
good, because artificial sweetener is not good.
As he says, as he drinks his Diet Coke. All right, we have our first guest for our Who Said That contest tonight. We're looking for the person who told Supreme Court, and she was at the time, by the way, Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, to quote unquote loosen up Sandy Baby. So let's go to Myra from Orlando, because she thinks she knows who it was. Myra, thanks for listening to us tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
This is just a wild guess. Tip O'Neill.
Well, Tip had something in common with this person in the fact
sure
that
did.
They could bend their elbows quite a bit.
How Tip got his nickname.
And that it was said under the influence, if you will, but it was not Tip O'Neill. But Myra, that's an excellent guess. And if you'll give Jeff your information, I guess maybe we have it, but if nobody else gets it right, you'll be declared the winner. But I thank you for being out there and listening to us on Super Bowl Sunday. But real quick, how did you come? Oh, I guess she's off. But
No, I'm there.
Oh, okay. How did you come up with Tip?
Well, I just thought of the time that she was Supreme Court Justice, and I thought who else was in power around that time
mm-hmm. yep.
that potentially would have the audacity to say something like that to a Supreme Court justice, especially since she was the first female justice.
Smart reasoning. Very smart reasoning.
Yeah. And if you just take it a little bit further, you're actually on the right track because mm-hmm. you went for the time period, you went for somebody that would say something like that, and you went for somebody that tips them back a little bit.
And someone who lived and worked in Washington.
Absolutely. So just combine that with today. Okay? The big thing going on today, put those two together, Myra, and it may take you to the right place. And by the way, you can call back and guess again if you think you figure it out.
Okay.
All right, so I just gave you another hint. Combine everything that you just did with Super Bowl Sunday, and it may just take you into the right place. Thank you, Myra. We appreciate you being out there. And as I said, nobody else gets it. She will be declared the winner.
Now, I wonder, when the author of this quote said this quote, was he already underneath the table, or was he still semi-vertical and not yet horizontal?
Two or three sheets to the wind, you might say. Yeah. We don't say want to say under the table with Sandy there, but... This person did tell Sandra Day O'Connor when she was a Supreme Court, and as Myra said, the first female Supreme Court justice to, quote-unquote, loosen up Sandy Baby. And, yes, they had been imbibing when this person said that.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, man. All right. And evidently, she took it in stride, by the way. So she didn't dump her drink on that person's head or slap that person.
You gotta go with the flow when these things happen. I'm sure she's had many worse things said to her over her years.
I wouldn't be surprised, probably even in the courtroom. Once again, somebody told Sandra Day O'Connor to loosen up, Sandy Baby. All right, so as I was saying, though, folks, please do go to our website. Take advantage of it there. And please refer others there as well. And also, if you are a business or a church or charitable organization or political organization or politician, you are free to register on our directory. We'll give you a basic listing, like the Yellow Pages, for free. But then we have small banner ads and large banner ads that you can upgrade to. And heck, if you want to advertise on the show, you can even find out how to do that at our website.
Great. You said politician. Alan Grayson's on the phone already. Oh, my goodness. Senator wannabe, Alan Grayson. You heard that?
Yes. Yeah.
If Rubio declares, Grayson's thinking, well, I might just want to be a senator.
Hey, I don't put it, you know, I don't, if I were him, I would be too. You know, he's got the money. He's got the name recognition.
He's got the blather.
And we got Richie on the line from Orlando who thinks he knows who told Sandra Day O'Connor to loosen up Sandy Baby. Richie, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Yeah, I would say the Gipper told her.
From the Tipper to the Gipper, huh?
From the Gipper to the Tipper, yes, right. You're in the right area, but in the right time frame.
Uh-huh.
But it was not President Reagan. All right, so.
Okay.
But if you figure it out, once again, just match it up with today and what's big going on today, right now as we speak. Put those together, and it will take you to the promised land.
Yeah, and you know what? Gipper is also a clue to the actual identity of the author of the quote.
Indeed, it is. That's
you're getting
right.
us closer, Richie.
You're so close, Richie. Thank you for calling. But if you figure it out and nobody else gets it in the meantime, feel free to call back.
Okay.
And by the way, thank you so much for being out there listening especially this evening when I know there's something else you could be doing. I forget what it is, but something else.
Why bother?
All the time listening, all the time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richie. I appreciate it. And please go to our website if you have internet access and check out the American Adversaries Army. All right, we got two more callers with guesses. Do we still, Jeff, are they still on the line? Okay,
yep.
All right, he's got to get to him. He's going to take those calls. If we get to the break, we'll take the calls after the break because it's a hard break we're coming up on here in a minute and a half. Once again, we'll keep you updated on the score of the show. When we come back, we'll have Sonny, but we'll take the guesses as well until we get the winner or run out of time to find out who told Sandra Day O'Connor to loosen up Sandy Baby. Once again, if you want to be a part of the contest, 407-774-8255 is the number. And by the way, all of our sponsors are on our website. So anytime you hear us talking about a sponsor on our show, you can go to our website and they'll link you up right there. And we're also linked up with other organizations as well. And there's a lot going on our Facebook page where we're linked up with all kinds of organizations and our guests. So please take advantage of these things. And when you go to Facebook, like us there. And follow us and encourage other people to do the same thing, because there are people out there tagging us, you might say, watching what's going on.
The NSA already knows where we all live.
And the reality is, folks, if our numbers get big enough, then sponsors come looking for us.
Sure.
So we need your help. And it's easy to do. Just go to Facebook, American Adversaries, or AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And we will be providing this information periodically. You can join our American Adversaries Army through the mail. So you don't even have to go on the internet if you don't want to do that. And we'll physically send you the newsletter in the mail. So please take one of those options and join us in our battle to keep freedom free.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
But actually a little sad because we're already 2 hours into this thing. Only got one more to go.
Wow, we're in the third half already.
We're having a lot of fun. I hope you are too as well, folks. Thanks for joining us tonight. You've got the American Adversaries live on AM 660. The Answer, 407-774-8255 is the number. We got some calls lined up. We'll get to them here in just a second. And then after them, we're going to be joined by Sunny, our California glow girl, who resides in Phoenix right now, where the big to-do is going on today. But first, let's go to Don from Orlando. Now, Don thinks he knows. He has the answer to our Who Said That contest tonight. And tonight we're looking for, folks, the person who told Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor to, quote-unquote, loosen up, Sandy baby. So, Don, who do you think said that?
Well, I'm trying to use the process of elimination. It can't be Barack Obama, because about that time, he was still organizing communities and out smoking dope.
Uh-huh. That's
I thought you were going to say Soylent diapers, but it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Red diaper dopers.
Yeah, go ahead.
So it can't be Barack, and I have no idea what this guy has got to do with the Super Bowl. But it sounds exactly like something a doofus like Joe Biden.
Well, yeah, but you see, the mistake you made is the doofus Joe Biden would say something like this sober, and we're looking for somebody who said it after they were imbibing.
That was a clue. That was a clue, and I missed it.
Don, it was an excellent guess, though, and we thank you so very much for being out there. And, Don, I certainly hope you become a part of the American Adversaries Radio, because I certainly enjoy talking to you and having you listening to our show. All right. And by the way, if nobody else gets it right, you can call back and if you figure it out.
And talking about being in your army,
yes, sir.
I was an air assault company commander in Korea back in the late 70s.
Well, thank you very much for putting your life on the line so that you protect what we enjoy today. You have given us the greatest gift of all, and we owe you everything for it. So thank you so much, and God bless you, Don.
God bless you guys. See you later.
All right.
He has.
Having guys and gals like you in our audience is what, you know, it's why we do this, really is.
Yep.
All right, let's go now to Mike from Orlando, who thinks he knows who told Sandra Day O'Connor to loosen up. Mike, thank you for calling, and who do you think it was?
I think it's John Riggins.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That for some of our listeners who may not know, tell them who John Riggins was.
He was a fullback for Washington Redskins.
That's right, and they had just won the Super Bowl that year, and I believe it was at the Correspondents' Dinner or something like that. And he was sitting at the table, seated next to the recently appointed Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, and he had had a few double scotches on the rocks, and at some point he told her, "Loosen up, baby."
I think it was in 1985, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe it was. You're absolutely correct. And so, Mike, have you ever been to Cafe Positano?
Yeah, one time way back when.
Well, I tell you what, you're going to be going this time with a $20 gift card in your pocket, and I certainly hope you enjoy it. And please tell Pasquale that you know you won the contest. He'll get a big kick out of that. And
we listen to you guys all the time. You got a great show.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I really appreciate that. And you know, I extend the invitation to you as well, personally, to join the American Adversaries Army. I'll make sure that you do not regret it. But thank you so much, first and foremost, for listening to the show as faithfully as you do. And we really appreciate you being out there. And hopefully we can run into you over at Cafe Positano. And
yeah, that'd be cool.
One of the things we're going to start doing is posting every week on our Facebook page. We'll try to say it on the radio on the air as well, but we'll also post it what day we're going to be down there. So we have you folks, if you like, to come out and join us as well.
I'd like to do that.
Well, thank you very much, Mike, and congratulations. And we got your information, so you'll get your T-shirt and the card in the mail together. And once again, thanks for listening to the show.
All right, we'll keep listening. Thanks again.
Amen. Thank you,
sir. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay, guys, it's about that time. It's dark here in Orlando, but it's always sunny in Arizona, and that's why we got Sunny, our California glow girl. How are you, Sunny?
I am doing fabulous, guys. It's so sunny here, and it's a beautiful day in sunny Arizona.
You're having
and
a super day?
Super Bowl on in the background.
Super.
I don't know if you can hear that. Of course, go Patriots.
Yeah, is there any score in the game yet? Last we checked, it was still 0-0.
It still is 0-0, but it's still young in the game.
I predicted
that.
Well,
you see, it's just because those balls are too hard to handle.
Yeah, those deflated balls, guys, I don't think it's going to matter. You know, like I said, give them a little Viagra, they'll go.
Bada-bing.
Well, yeah. By the way, Nostradamus was telling me that he saw your picture of when you were a Patriots girl.
Oh, yes.
Tell our audience.
There. I've seen Dennis.
I check pictures out from time to time. Yeah, my wife is fully aware of that.
Yes. Well, tell our
the Rams and the Raiders, though, guys, and the Miami Dolphins are my most.
I hear that. The Dolphins and the Raiders, they're my teams. But by the way, tell our listeners where they can see those photographs of you.
Well, that would be under Patricia Chambers Summerland on my Facebook. And that is my real name. Yes, it is. The Sunny page is, did we get a touchdown? Oh, my. Since we're on live? Oh, yeah. Touchdown, guys.
Look at that. The Pats score first. They waited for you to come on with us to do their thing.
They did, didn't they?
Indeed.
That is my Facebook. The Sunny fan page, Sunny Glow Girl, you'll see all my wrestling stuff. Sunny the California Girl.
Cool.
Yes.
So,
And it will pop up on Twitter. It will pop up on Instagram. And it will pop up LinkedIn. I have all those.
Trust me, folks, it will pop up.
I was getting ready to say, watch out with that.
I know.
All right. Well, Sunny, what's it been like this week with the Super Bowl in town?
Crazy. First of all, I got to tell you what the tickets went for. $35,000.
What? Wait, whoa.
It was $9,000.
Wait, say that again.
$35,000.
For what?
For the Super Bowl. And I heard that a local woman here gave one of her tickets away.
Oh, my God.
That's Alexis.
We have great talent. You know, Paul McCartney, Rihanna, Katy Perry, they're all here. Everybody's here.
Paul McCartney came.
But I did not go out in that mess because I know it was going to be crazy.
Sure.
I, for one, don't, you know, I've been there, done that with all that, and I know what to look for. But, yes, Arizonians are very proud. They're very happy. It's going to bring revenue, let's hope, at that price.
Yeah. And
for all the restaurateurs, restaurantees, so on and so forth. You know,
And the weather's incredible. The weather's good and everything. And,
well, it's indoors, so it doesn't matter.
Well, but, I mean, people getting to and from the stadium.
I'm sorry. Stadium here. You know that, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's awesome. I mean, Cali has to catch up.
I tell you what, they sure do. And but how far are you actually away from the stadium? Do you know?
Not that far. I would say at the most 20 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. You know, our very own Mike McBath is out there for the Super Bowl, so he's around somewhere in all the festivities.
Wherever the loudest party is, that'll be Mike.
All the playmates that are here.
Yes.
Mike will be there.
Yeah, he was the hotel he was staying at evidently was where they were going to have their big thing going on.
Yeah, he said it's a sacrifice
to
take.
What's that? The W Hotel.
That's the one. Yep. So anyway, it's I'm glad it's everything's turning out fine there, and everybody's having a great time, and it's a safe Super Bowl, and we'll see who wins. But right now, it looks like the Patriots are up 7-0.
Go Pat! Of course, I got to say that because my name's Patricia. Lucky charm.
Because you were one of their pinup girls, so to speak.
I certainly was the poster girl. Everyone thinks it's a cheerleader, but no. Every team also had poster girls that went out to back then, mind you, warehouses, the Music Plus stores, and they sold like hotcakes. I happened to have a tight end that was probably the most sold, and that I was in the Raiders.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd like to see that one.
I was in a hot jacuzzi, guys, and it was excruciating for hours to take that shot. And I lifted heavy weight on my bum. Yeah.
Wow.
Nice and toned and cut and oiled and all that good stuff, yep.
Well, maybe you can market that and sell it as a new, you know, they got the Brazil butt lift out there. I mean, obviously it's marketable.
I need it now. 20 years later, I'm like, yeah, so you were the tight end. Where did it go?
Oh, no, yeah.
With age.
Listen to this girl with all these football things here.
Oh, goodness.
Well, I'm glad.
The sad thing is, with all this going on, is that people are very cautious at the stadium due to the measles outbreak.
Yeah.
And it's only getting worse. And worse.
And evidently, it's started, they believe, at Disneyland in California, and that's where the outbreak, they believe, began. But now it's spreading, and Arizona's being hit rather hard, I understand.
Well, there was I don't know the woman's name, but she happened to hop on an Amtrak and traveled, and she had the measles. So she arrived here in Glendale, Arizona. So that was right there in Glendale. As we speak, it's 1,000 people here. Exposed,
right.
200 children here are exposed and in the hospital right now.
Wow. And most of those, I mean, measles virus, you know, who needs that anymore? Measles is virtually eradicated.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they're saying, that parents are afraid to get this, injection because it causes autism.
The vaccine,
was,
yeah.
You know, associated with that. But again, we're all fine, right? I had all mine, you know, when I was little.
Yeah, it's alleged to have contributed to higher rates of autism, but there's really no cause has been fixed for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
But what concerns me is that the focus is on people who have not had the vaccine and not where the disease is originating from. I mean, not having the vaccine doesn't mean that you have the disease. It means that you are capable of contracting the disease, theoretically.
Right.
But it doesn't mean, where did it come from?
Right.
Why this new outbreak? And that's the part of the story I don't believe that we're either being told or no one's checking into, because I think that it has something to do with all of these children who came here illegally.
The easiest thing is, guys, to blame it on Disneyland. You know, remember when we were growing up, they're like, well, you don't want children or you want to adopt a kid, just go to Disneyland. Same thing.
Is that right?
You know, so they're blaming it on Disneyland. Well,
right.
The happiest place on earth, you come out with getting a terrible infection. That just doesn't, who knows? You know, I don't know. And the other sad, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, Whitney Houston's daughter.
Yeah, what a sad story. Bobby Brown.
Yeah, go ahead and tell everyone. We were going to mention it later in the show, because as we go out of the show tonight, we're going to play the national anthem, Star Spangled Banner, as sung by Whitney Houston at the Super Bowl over here in Tampa a number of years ago. We were going to talk about that, but please go ahead and fill our audience in.
Oh, yeah, brilliant job. Whitney, there is no other, and it's so sad, but I got to tell you.
She had one daughter. And?
Yeah, one daughter, and right now she's in a medically induced coma, and it's very, very sad. After they found her face down and unresponsive in a bathtub, just like her mother, Whitney Houston, and full of water. You know, the tub was full, and I guess it was hot, super hot, as well as Whitney. They say it was like a scorching temp, by the way, and I was there that night, you guys, when Whitney passed away. I was there for the awards. And we were all sitting, and we got the news. It was like, wow. We were all shocked.
Yes.
All shocked. And it went on. People just, like, had this look, but it's still, everything just went on as, like, wow, nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God, Whitney Houston. Everyone reacted after the fact when they should have reacted right then, in my opinion.
Yeah, if you remember, folks, she died the day of the, was it the Academy Awards ceremony?
Yeah, it was. It was the music, the largest.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm featured in the Academy 75th book.
Well, let me ask you about her daughter Bobby. Her name was Bobby Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, she inherited the entire Whitney Houston fortune when Whitney died, being the only child. Is there any indication there was foul play or suicide or was drugs or any indication of what caused this? Because it's obviously an unusual situation, you would think.
Sure.
I mean, she wasn't that old.
Which I've got to tell you guys, and I hope they just get this guy, her very own husband. I don't know if they've just failed to overlook this, but this boy that she took in and raised him as her own son, if you will, that, Bobby married. She's 21 now. They're married. And here's this guy that, she took in. And now Whitney in that same position, now she's married to this guy, and he apparently found her and gave her CPR.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, I have to say, but that's the first thought that crossed my mind. She inherits her mother's fortune. She's
exactly.
married to this guy, which means that if she's dead, guess what? He gets the fortune,
yes.
And that's the
okay.
And he found her.
Yep.
So I hope
CPR,
that
CPR. That's what he said. And, it's just too coincidental. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's...
It's going to be an anniversary soon, February 11th, I believe.
Yeah.
That she had passed. Now, Bobby is, of course, up and down, they say, with drugs. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it just seems too coincidental for my liking.
Yeah, I had the same impression myself when I first saw that story. It just didn't sound right to me that either it was suicide or foul play.
Yes.
I can't foresee this being an accident, but, I hope they investigate this thoroughly because it just don't smell right to me.
Absolutely. And I say it is, hands down. And I hope the family, gets on it and solves this because it's well-deserved, and she was an icon.
Yep,
and her little girl, I have a daughter. She's 23. I can't imagine anything happening, like that. That's devastating. It just can't happen.
Yeah.
And I hope she survives this, guys. She's not out of the woods yet. So let's all say a prayer.
Yeah. But, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And
pray for the Patriots.
All right. Yes. Is it still 7-0?
I think it is. I think it's still 1-0.
It's not soccer, Sonny.
I don't want to see all this.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Sonny. Great job. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right. We love you.
Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
All right. We love you. We love you, folks, and we'll be right back.
On 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Okay. Welcome back to the show, folks. And once again, we want to thank each and every one of you for listening tonight. And we will keep you updated on the score. The last check, it was 7-0 still Patriots as they come up on the end of the first half. And I believe Katy Perry is going to be the halftime entertainment tonight.
That's right.
So, she's probably going to be a roaring. So it should be fun.
Yep. Yeah. Second quarter, 7 minutes left.
So, okay. Yeah. All right. In the meantime, we're live until 8 o'clock. Don't forget John Butler Book, who has already arrived here at the studio complex, will be live from 8 to 9 on our sister station, 950 WTLN. He always has an excellent show. I always come away having learned something and having usually chuckled along the way in the process, too. Man's got a great sharp mind and sharp wit to go along with it, and it's a whole lot of fun and educational,
and
too.
Good looks on top of that.
He got everything. Got it all going, buddy.
Face for radio, baby.
You got it all going. But that will be at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on 950 WTLN. And then you can come back down the dial and listen to Mark Walters do his show live on AM 660 The Answer until 11 o'clock. So nowhere else do you get good quality live radio. I should say excellent quality live radio right here every Sunday night on AM 660 The Answer, WTLN, and of course 1520 WBZW, where we are simulcasting. real quickly, I got this other little story I ran across in this weekend's Wall Street Journal talking about a brand new mosque being built, has already been built, and it's been put in practice in Los Angeles. Now, you know, we're getting mosques are popping up all over the place. There's a huge one that they're planning on building up in Sanford. And by the way, folks, if you want to find out more about these and what you might want to do about it, if this at all concerns you, you can go to Act for America, and they will help you out on that, and we'll be linked up with them. I believe we already are. If not, that will happen this week. But that's the local thing. In Los Angeles, they have built a big, new, nice new mosque. Guess what? For women only.
What? That, women only.
That kind of doesn't fit the whole motif, if you will. But yes, this is a new women-only mosque. Women call the women to prayer. Women present the sermon or whatever they do there, the prayers, and then the remarks after the prayers and during. And
now, I know in regular Muslim services, the men and women are separated, you know, half on one side, half on the other.
No, it's not even that.
No?
No, the women are relegated to something other than the worship hall, if you will.
Oh, they can't even go there during the main service.
Well, they can go, but they can't be in the main hall to worship. It's like they at home.
They're in the back in the baby room with
exactly,
the kids.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. They're second-class citizens, which is why this is so controversial within Islam.
Yeah.
Because obviously, this is tantamount, say, to the Catholic Church setting up a cathedral where the women run the show. The women are the priests, the women are the nuns, the women are everything.
Yeah, it's called Episcopalians. Oh, sorry, Reverend Booker.
But nonetheless, it is causing quite the stir, and I proposed the thought to Nostradamus, maybe this is the answer, you know, to the Muslim extremist, quote-unquote, problem, because surely they're not going to be teaching people to go around cutting people's heads off.
Oh, whoa, wait. If you have women running the show, they'll be cutting something else off.
And then you said that.
Yeah.
And I said, oh.
And they do that without even being Muslim, so. Yeah.
So much for that idea. It's just, instead of part of the solution, it's just another evidently maybe part of the problem.
That's going to be very problematic. It'll be interesting to see who protests against this.
It will be, because you know who their biggest problem, their biggest attackers may be? Men Muslims.
Sure.
They don't like this sort of thing. So this will be interesting to watch to see what happens. But let's not get our hopes up too much, because this is probably just another way for them to deceive the infidels into thinking that it is a modern, you know, how should I say, women's lib religion, when it is anything but. So this is probably just part of the deception.
We'll have to ask Ann Jordan. We'll have to see what she says.
Exactly. But it is a bit of a quirk, so to speak, in the overall equation.
Pretty bizarre.
Absolutely. But what isn't bizarre is that we are here. We are live. We got another half hour to go. Johnny Guns is going to be checking in from Glendale? No, Glensdale?
From Glensdale.
Glensdale.
He will be calling from Glensdale. That's what he told me to say. And we'll have to find out, though, what his WTF news is all about. He said it's very noisy where he is, so there's a lot of shouting and cheering, so we'll get what we can from him.
Okay, and then Nostradamus has got closing comments tonight, and if I get a chance, I'm going to tell you about Konkatsu.
Bless you. The American Adversaries Sunday Night Show. Did you hear that SRN news story at the bottom of the hour? The Secret Service arrested a man attempting to climb a bike rack on the White House lawn. I just checked it out. I got a little more detail. It turns out he was trying to steal President Obama's pink 10-speed and his Anna and Elsa bike helmet.
You mean the ones with the little frilly things, the fringe
That's
things
the one,
coming
and
out
the little,
of the handlebars?
And the little,
no, the little ching-ching, ching-ching.
There you go.
That's President Obama for you.
Enough of that. Let's go to a manly man, a man who knows all about pigskins and footballs. And he's actually at Glensdale. And that is our WTF News Hound, Johnny Guns. Johnny, are you with us?
You guys treat me so well on Super Bowl Sunday.
What? What Sunday?
Because on that Sunday.
That day with that
so
game.
Well, every Sunday.
Right.
And you know what? I just wanted to let you know, thank you and the American Adversaries and 660 for sending me to beautiful Glensdale.
Glensdale.
I am watching, something going on.
So you're in Arizona.
Here at beautiful University of Phoenix's website.
I was going to say Glensdale. Isn't that somewhere over all 1792 in Maitland? wait a minute, Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny, you should be giving us the update on the score, shouldn't you?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I had to move to a quieter place, away from, Paul McCartney and Steven Tyler.
Sure.
All those guys told him, hey, I got to go do my report here.
Yeah.
But Seattle just scored a touchdown at 7-7.
Look at that.
Check it out.
We're about a little bit, I think, like 5 minutes away from halftime.
So far, good match.
Yeah. Very good game. Very good game. So how about we do a little WTF news?
How about we do?
All right. Well, no matter who loses tonight's game, they're not having as bad a day as Joel Iffergen from Quebec, Canada, who back in 2008 bought some lottery tickets for a $21.3 million jackpot. Now, he went to Lotto Quebec and got the request in for two tickets in their system 13 seconds before their 9 p.m. deadline. Well, due to delays with Lotto Quebec's central computer system, he ended up purchasing them 7 seconds after the deadline. Now, why is this a big story? He had the right numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The prize money was claimed by another ticket whose numbers also matched. So what did Iffergen do? He's suing. He's suing the lottery, and he's suing them for half the jackpot. The only bad news was that he was rejected by the Quebec courts. So how about this? He spent $79,000 of his own money pursuing the court case. So for picking the winning lottery numbers, he didn't end up winning $10 million. He ended up losing $79,000.
Yeah, I got to think he has a case because it allowed him to purchase the tickets.
Yeah.
If they weren't valid, it shouldn't have let him buy them.
Now,
it's gone all the way to the Canadian Supreme Court, but it got rejected.
I'll be darned. That's wild. I guess you got, early to bed, early to rise. Makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. You got to get in and get those tickets early.
That's right. He will be there as soon as the Lotto office opens next time. All right. Story number two. We got some Super Bowl themed stories here. A Pennsylvania confectioner has created a Deflategate-inspired chocolate football and dubbed it the Brady Ball. Harris Candies unveiled the chocolate creation, which is shaped like a partially caved-in football, and posted the picture to its Facebook page.
Oh.
Owner Bill Ferris says the football, it's not for sale. He just did it for a joke based on, Deflategate.
Uh-huh.
Says, told in local newspaper, we did it for something cute to post online just for fun to see what people do. The picture posted to Facebook has a caption that says, net weight 13 pounds. Oops, we meant 11.2 pounds. The chocolate ball actually weighs about 2.5 pounds. And said Ferris tried a few attempts to get the successful creation for the Brady Ball. Used the method, but that's being kept secret. He says, you'll have to ask the Patriots how they did it. We're not giving the secret away. Well, I tell you what, I think that's a Brady Ball I'd love to get my hands on.
Amen to that. Amen.
2.5 pounds of chocolate. Being a Colts fan, I'd take that. All right. Story number three. A Dallas teaching zoo has set a porcupine with a track record of predicting the Super Bowl winners is picking the Seattle Seahawks. Zooniversity, it's a traveling wildlife education company, released a video showing Teddy Bear the porcupine taking an ear of corn from a container labeled for the Seahawks after turning up his nose at an ear of corn labeled for the Patriots. The video says, don't ever underestimate the power of the porcupine's prognostication. When asked if he had ever met the porcupine before, Tom Brady in a fictional interview said that he had met the porcupine right before the game against the Colts while he was examining the game balls. That's how this late day happened.
That's how they did it, the old porcupine spine.
The porcupine with the game balls.
Excellent work, Johnny Guns. We knew you'd sniff it out.
Guys, thanks, guys. I got to get back to the University of Phoenix website. Out here in beautiful Glendale.
All right. You just keep your eyes straight ahead and off those co-eds.
It'll be tough, but I think I'm up to the challenge.
Amen to that. All right.
All right, guys. Good night.
All right. Good night. That's Johnny Guns. And, of course, he'll be back in the studio with us next weekend, as will Lair Adams and Carl Jackson. So we appreciate that. I've got a couple of WTF news stories for you, though. One is a bizarre one out of White Plains, New York.
I've been there.
Where is that?
That's right up across the bridge north of the Bronx, north of the five boroughs of Manhattan.
Jury selection began Monday in that New York suburb in the case of a mother who allegedly poisoned her five-year-old son to death with salt.
Oh.
She killed the boy with salt.
How?
Well, too much. And we're not talking about high blood pressure. Evidently, too much salt in your system can cause a cardiac arrest and other things as well.
That's a mineral. You get too much of any mineral in your bloodstream, it can poison you.
Lacey Spears, 27, of Scottsville, Kentucky, who presented herself online as a supremely devoted mother, is charged with depraved murder and manslaughter in the death a year ago of her son. The boy's sodium levels rose to a dangerous point with no medical explanation existing. So prosecutors are pursuing that. I thought it was bizarre in the sense that obviously a mother killing a child is always bizarre and terrible. But salt?
Seems to be about 150 easier ways to do that. Not that I'm keeping track or counting.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, just be careful of your salt intake there, folks. Also, I wanted to tell you about Konkatsu. Have you ever heard of Konkatsu?
Is that new place, that hibachi restaurant with the Japanese food?
Well, you're close.
Yeah?
It's a new place. It has to do with Japanese.
Uh-huh.
But there is a movement in Japan amongst the government to try to get more young Japanese couples to marry.
Oh, really? Okay.
And because they want them to have young Japanese babies.
Very low birth rate there.
Very low birth rate. And part of the problem is young Japanese men and women are not getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, over there, they value what we would call the traditional nuclear family makeup, where the male is the breadwinner of the family. Now, over there, obviously, men and women both work. Girls work over there at the same rate, if not more so, than they do here. And that's part of the problem, is they want a husband who can be the sole breadwinner. Even if she wants to go out and work, they still want a husband who can be the sole breadwinner. But because of the economics of the modern era, that's harder and harder to do.
Nearly impossible in many cities.
And so the young men who know they can't do that just basically don't pursue the young women. And then when they do, evidently they have these like tiny apartments which are very dingy and not very friendly or hospitable that they might bring a date to.
Yeah, not really romantic if you're living in a box, is
it? Right. So konkatsu is the practice of having, let's just say, mate-friendly apartments over there.
Hmm.
And the typical konkatsu apartment is going to be, unlike the neighbors, is going to be spacious. It's going to be have big kitchens, perhaps a bathtub in the living room, and most importantly, a stripper pole in the living room.
Sure, because you need that. Every married couple needs one of those.
Konkatsu, soon coming to a neighborhood near you.
Hmm.
So
heart-shaped bed?
That would be a typical thing that you would see there. And,
yeah,
of course, the whole idea, once again, is to get young couples to marry.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have babies.
Mirrored disco ball, maybe?
And it's a problem that we have in this country, too. And that's part of the reason why you see... John Butler book, Swimming Pool Shaped Like a Heart. We do it. Anyway, when we come back, we got... is it time for the closing comments, Ray?
Almost.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nostradamus is going to take that role tonight. Don't forget, John's coming up live at 8 o'clock, and I look forward to his show. And any more scoring goes on in the Super Bowl, we're going to let you know about that. But right now, the score is tied 7-7 as they approach halftime.
I used to swim in a heart-shaped pool, but I kept on hitting my head on that little bump. Really annoying.
Is that what happened? Just like John Butler Book, who's coming up at 8 o'clock on 950. But in the meantime, it is time for tonight's closing comments, as according to Nostradamus. Nostradamus, please.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Lair, for taking the night off, so I get to give you Dennis's closing comments. Behold, I am a lone voice crying out in the wilderness, shouting, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. These are the words of the Apostle John from the New Testament. They echo the words of the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. In either case, that image, a lone voice crying out in the wilderness, implies a thought I dare say many of us here at the American Adversaries have had from time to time. That thought is, am I the only one who recognizes how screwed up we've allowed our nation to become? The simple answer to this question is, of course, no. We here are not the only ones, though it sometimes feels like it. Even the 24-hour so-called news channels, even the one that's supposed to lean to the right and is fair and balanced, are all focusing their attention this past week not on the murder and the mayhem orchestrated by ISIS, not on the worldwide printing of trillions of dollars of non-existent currency, not on the relentless erosion of our freedom from all sides, but on how much air is or isn't in a football. The problem is not with you, our listeners, especially not tonight. If you're listening to the sound of my voice live on this Sunday night, then you've made a deliberate decision to turn off, or at least turn down the audio on, the TV playing that sporting event which shall remain nameless. This tells me that you get it, that you know there are some things in this life more important to consider than nachos and beer and football. Ooh, almost mentioned that sporting event. Not going to do it. Some would argue that a local conservative talk radio show is the furthest thing from a lone voice crying in the wilderness. Oh, there's people like you all over the radio, they'd say, spewing their right-wing, racist, sexist, anti-middle-class hatred. Well, never mind that each one of those adjectives is absolutely incorrect about most talk radio hosts, including and especially the American Adversaries. But there is a line of reasoning that says we only listen to those whom we already agree with, and we tune out all other points of view. It's called the echo chamber effect. As a wise man said to us recently over at Cafe Positano's, people like people like them. You getting that? People like people who are like them. Now, if this is correct, that would explain the ultimate failure of liberal talk radio. First of all, liberal talk radio is kind of unnecessary because the liberal line of thinking is all over mainstream media. There's really no need for such a niche. But that grand experiment, Air America, resulted in a spectacular crash and burn, pun intended, for one main reason. Their progressive ideas did not ring true with enough people to make the network profitable. Ultimately, it died of atrophy. Which brings us back to us here at the American Adversaries. Chris and Lair and Johnny Guns and Carl Jackson and Lucas and his headcam and I all have plenty of other things we could be doing. Weekday afternoons from 5 to 6 p.m. and Sunday nights from 5 p.m. till, well, right around now. We are not doing what we're doing here to become rich and famous. Although if that became a byproduct of our show's success, we'd accept the challenge of managing that burden. Mo money, mo problems, you know. We are doing what we're doing here, though, because we truly believe that we are saying things others aren't saying, or at least scooping the rest of them when we say it. Chris and I can now no longer count the many times we've analyzed a topic on a Sunday night, only to hear the very next day the big guy or the crybaby or the Irishman jump on it and talk about it, a lot of times saying the same things we just said. One thing, though, I think separates us from some of the more established talk veterans is that we don't march in lockstep with any particular party's line on the American Adversaries.
Heck, a lot of time we don't even march in step with each other. So, Chris is a vegetarian, pot-loving, conservatarian hippie. That's fine. I'm good with that. So, I'm a paranoid conspiracy theorist who sees intricate webs of cover-ups and connections between sinister things that might not actually exist. Chris is good with that. He accepts it. Despite all the nuanced differences we have with each other's point of view, the thing that unites us here at the American Adversaries, I believe, is also the thing that separates us from much of conservative talk radio. And that is that we don't think that having an R at the end of your name automatically makes a politician more trustworthy, more honest, or even more conservative. Conversely, having a D at the end of your name does not mean a politician won't actually have a good idea every once in a while. I feel well qualified to make this point because, as Nostra Dennis, I have both an R and a D in my name. The host we sometimes call the crybaby. Okay, it's Glenn Beck, in case you didn't know. Used to do a segment early on in his radio show called Moron Trivia. What he would do is he'd send his producer, Stu, out in the street and ask incredibly simple questions to people on the street and cringe at their answers. You know, tough stuff like, who's the vice president? He stopped doing that, though. And Beck did that deliberately because it became depressing to him to hear how stupid a vast cross-section of Americans actually are. I would love to hear how American Adversaries listeners would take that pop quiz and see how that came out. Another reason Beck stopped doing that is because he believed that the times in which we live demand more important uses for his limited radio hours than silly games. Just as President Bush stopped playing golf right after 9/11, are you listening, Barack? Of course you're not. Bush did that because he knew it would send the wrong message to the world. In the same way, Beck chose not to dwell on the frivolous and the unimportant and decided to focus his limited hours to important topics. Now, here at the American Adversaries, we take our nation and its future very seriously. At the same time, we don't take ourselves seriously at all. Our time, the time that we share with you 6 days a week, and the time you choose to share with us, we take very seriously. If you break it down and do the math and you divide the cost of producing the show and putting it together into the number of minutes we actually speak to you and with you, that time is precious indeed. We can't do our show without you, the listener. That might seem like a hackneyed, trite phrase, but it is an inescapable truth. We saw just last week how a few short minutes on the air gave Ed Reardon of Honor Flight Central Florida a couple more Veterans Guardians for his next flight, and a few handfuls of additional donations on top of that. We formed the American Adversaries Army for a very similar purpose, to give you, the listener, a chance to support us and help us determine whether you want us to stay on the air, a lone voice crying out in the wilderness, or whether we go the way of the dinosaur called Air America Radio. As it is every day, our future is in your hands. If you haven't already, you can head over right now. It's always open, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and join the American Adversaries Army. Or you could turn the volume back up on the TV, pass the nachos, and get ready for the second half without a second thought. In either case, it's your choice, and we thank you for spending this night with us. Have a great week.
Wow, Dennis, that was excellent. I think we're going to find a place for that on our webpage. By the way, that nameless sporting event, the score is now 14-7 New England. So,
first half about to wrap up.
Thank you very much, Nostra Dennis. Excellent, excellent essay.
Thank you.
And appreciate it. And we appreciate you, folks. Night, everybody.